This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Consignment Heroes, heard Sunday afternoons at 1 on Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Consignment Heroes, heard Sunday afternoons at 1 on Zoomer Radio. How to sell your stuff. How to get rid of stuff. Paul Kenny and his son Bogart from Storage Wars Canada are about to unlock the secrets to stuff on Zoomer Radio. What sort of value do they put on your stuff? That depends on how well you sell it. As we begin taking your calls on Consignment Heroes, the one-hour phone-in show all about stuff.
Good afternoon. We are live and our phone lines are open. If you have a rare or interesting item you think might have some special value, you can call in for a free assessment right now. Our number is 416-360-0740. That's 416-360-0740. If you're out of town, you can call toll-free 1-866-740-4740. That's 1-866-740-4740. So whether you have some antiques or collectibles, sports memorabilia, some gold pieces, coins, jewelry, earrings, who knows? Maybe it's a silver piece. Maybe it's old art. Whatever you have lying around your house, maybe it's been in that family for generations. If you're curious about its value, you can get some expert advice on how to sell it and what it might be worth. That expert you know from Storage Wars Canada and A&E's Northern Treasures, he's Paul Kenny, and he's not live with us in studio. He is at the Oakville Antique Show at 1280 Dundas Street West. Paul Kenny, how are you?
Hey, really, really busy. Hey, I'm surprised. I want to get more people out here. There's still 3 hours to go on this show. And like I say, here I'm walking around this show. This is actually kind of different for me. I'm sitting next to a chest from 1725 from Austria that we brought back from our Austria trip. Mm. Next to that, I've got, you know, while we talk about those old vintage telephones, there are people here with them in all sorts of different colors. I've been telling people they're worth $25, $35. They're on sale here between $65 and $175 each.
Now, do you mean like a two-piece, like a wall-hanger telephone, like one on the wall? Or what? When you say classic or antique phone, what era are you talking?
Yeah. No, these are the old color ones from 1970s.
Oh. Rotary phone that's like blue or orange?
That one's orange, one's red, one's green. Like, I'm walking up here, there's a booth here with 25,000 pieces of costume jewelry in it. You know how we tell people they should be selling their costume jewelry?
Yeah.
If they think costume jewelry's dead, it's not dead. I'm looking at the booth right now. It's a shame that we're on radio instead of television. I could have a camera because people will be seeing this stuff. But they could come down here, 1280 Dundas Street West, and actually see the same stuff I'm seeing. Like, there's a whole booth here of all perfectly refinished pine furniture. Mm. I'm looking at bronzes. I'm looking at lamps. I'm looking at vases. You know what's not here, though? A lot of china and dishes and glass.
Really?
You know, there's not that much dishes because it's a higher-end show where they're trying to get that extra nice piece. Like another, I'm just looking at another 10 cases of amber jewelry, silver and gold. And I'm not even at my booth yet, which has got that stuff. We've got Rolex watches, Patek Philippe watches. We've already sold two sets of Sterling since we've been here. It's that kind of a busy show. And we got paintings, everything from $200 paintings to $25,000 paintings at the show. So
it's a cloudy Sunday. Are you suggesting if people are just curious, you don't have to be a hardcore collector, just something to do? It's a good show? There's enough to see?
Oh, yeah. Now, this is, you know what? Somebody's going to call up and they'll ask me what something's worth. Here they can actually see what someone else is actually selling it for, which is kind of neat.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? There's a guy here. I'm looking at the booths right now. It's got 300 oil lamps. This guy needs another hobby. Maybe 400. I can't even tell. You know, like, and then there's another one with antlers and another one with 45 more cases full of jewelry. It's actually one of those things where people, I'm here getting a little bit of an education. You have to do these shows and to see what other people are selling it. Because when someone asks me a question on what something is worth, there are two ways to answer. The one's the insurance value, and the other one is, what does it actually sell for?
Yeah.
You know how we say that? You know, one's a never plan, and when the other plan is like, get out the door, say no more, as I call it.
Right.
But costume has been very, very popular here. We've been selling gold jewelry, chains, and stuff like that. But just not at jewelry show prices. This is the thing, at a show like this, people go and buy stuff in big box stores. You buy a set of bowls, you buy it from China, and we're cheap is cheap. And, Bogart's got a question. $150. So this is the problem with live shows, I guess. Actually, that's the people in the room buying stuff here, eh?
No, of course, and Bogart is with you. I didn't realize that. So we have tons of people are calling in. They all want to get some information. But the exciting thing about Consignment Heroes today is that you're live actually doing your job, which is putting value on rare and interesting antiques, buying and selling today. And you're at 1280 Dundas Street West in Oakville. It's the Oakville Antique Show. People can go right now. They can meet you and see some of these items that you're talking about. I should also point out that you also have a YouTube page. So if you go to YouTube.com and you can look for the keyword For What It's Worth, and you'll find a series, I think you're up to like 40 different short videos, where you're showing some of the rarer collectible items that Canadians generally fall in love with, whether it's a Bobby Orr autograph or the oldest and largest check ever cashed in Canada. You have the actual print of it, the actual check that it was written on, all sorts of antique gold and silver collectibles. You can go to YouTube and look up For What It's Worth. If you are listening right now and you go, well, you know what, I have some old antlers, or I have an old orange-colored rotary phone, you're telling me these pieces of garbage are worth money? Yes, they are. They're not garbage. They're collectibles, antiques. You can give us a call, 416-360-0740. That's 416-360-0740. Brian in Toronto. Paul, Brian in Toronto wants your attention first. Brian, how are you?
How are you doing, sir?
Not bad. What do you have?
I have a coin to which is not a numeral coin as a dollar coin. It's like a remember coin of R.T. Honorable G. Rockefeller, or Diefenbaker, sorry.
Sounds like a medal. Say Rockefeller on it?
No, Diefenbaker.
Oh, Diefenbaker. No,
and then be it on the opposite side, it tells how he was born in September 1895, died August 16, 1979. It was the Prime Minister of Canada, and then be it. I noticed I missed something one side.
Okay.
It's a CBC coin.
Yeah, now is it pewter color? It looks like a piece of lead or a piece of tin, pewter, or is it silver or gold?
Looks like it's about 14 or 18 carats.
It's kind of a great card. They were put out, I think, by gas stations. They're worth about $1. It's about how many prime ministers we had.
Okay.
They were put out, I think, in the 70s.
Yeah.
They don't go for a lot of money.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of people could get them for free, and they're not worth, no. I apologize.
Well, Paul, as you say, if it was made to be commemorative, it's probably not going to be that valuable because people realized what it was and hung on to it. There are probably less, there's way more of them, sort of thing.
I just know it wasn't tarnishing, so I figured it might be gold.
It appears to be gold. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, no, gold, okay, I'm going to tell this to people out there, all our listeners. Gold does not tarnish. If it tarnishes, it can't be gold. This is like a little-known trick. Silver will tarnish. Tarnish is an oxidization of the metal, like rust is, or tarnish on silver. But gold, it's either dirty, but if it tarnishes, it's not gold. So that's like a tip that everyone should know, actually.
Yeah, that's why we all know silver polish, but not gold polish, because silver goes black. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why you can leave a piece of gold in the bottom of the sea and let something encrust over it, but it will not tarnish and it will not deteriorate. That's why gold's so valuable. Sorry, go ahead.
Brian in Toronto, thanks for your phone call. Our next caller is Greg in Mississauga. Greg, you're live on Zoomer Radio. You're listening to Consignment Heroes. What do you got?
Well, I got some vinyl acetates. Is there a market for this?
Acetates? Of course there are.
You're going to have to slow down. I'm the dumbest guy in this room. What's an acetate?
You remember that little box on the table that used to spin around with these vinyls on them?
That also doesn't help. Sorry, Paul, what are we talking about?
Oh, no, I thought he meant, when I think acetate, I think that's a pre-production record. But talking about the old records like Edison's and stuff like that.
No, unfortunately, they do for modern-day records, too.
Oh, no, but is this an acetate that's a pre-production acetate?
That's the one they press them from. Yep.
The ones they press them from. That's
what I meant. Transfer.
Yeah, if the band is big and people, if you have a Pink Floyd acetate or you had a Beatles acetate, depending on the bigger the band the acetate's from, the more money that you can get for it because there are more collectors out there. If it's an acetate from some garage band that's that only has 14 followers and that includes their mom and dad, that's not going to go for a lot of money.
So, Greg, but who do you have?
So you mean I can't get these 14 arguing over one band?
Pardon? Hello?
Wait, Greg, what bands do you have?
Oh, I got some Floyd, some early Beatles, and a lot of...
Come and see me. Please keep them in good shape. Come and see me. I can help you.
They're in good shape.
And I'd have, depending on what bands they are, which record company the acetates were used on, acetates are very valuable.
Oh.
As a general rule, there are people collecting them because there's generally one, two, three of them, and they're not something they made a million of.
Right.
And if you're a Beatles collector... Like, I would say a Beatles acetate is probably going to be worth north of $1,000 without even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because there are enough Beatle collectors out there who are going to want this.
So, Greg, it sounds like you're in the money. So what we're going to do is we're going to put you on hold, and we'll make sure that you have Paul Kenny's store information. Of course, he has a store. It is on Yonge Street in Richmond Hill. It's at 10,341 Yonge Street, Toronto, gold and silver. You'll find Paul and Bogart's face on the sign outside the door. Again, the location, 10,341 Yonge Street. That's 10,341 Yonge Street, just north of Major Mac in Richmond Hill. Our next caller is Jennifer in Guelph. Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, good.
What do you have?
Well, I was calling about a Guelph City Dairy milk bottle that I have.
Oh.
Nobody's ever heard of it here. What I've been able to find out about it is something to do with the Scobes Dairy.
Okay. There are a lot of people who collect dairies. Is it embossed or is it
it's
lettering
right in the
on
gla-
it?
Like, it's not etched in the glass. It's molded on the glass.
Okay. Like, then this is better. Okay. I'm not sure about the Guelph company either. I'd have to look, actually to do a little bit of research on it, but there are a number of people. Probably, if they're not a lot, if you can't find it on eBay and you can't find any of it around, that means you got a, maybe a possibly a rare item. This is going to help you a lot. Uh-oh, my Bogart's called me back to the booth. On, I'm actually trying to find something. I'm going to a glass guy here and see if he has a Guelph Series bottle here. But no, he doesn't. On something like that, probably about $100 to $150.
Oh, wow.
If it hasn't been around, because there are enough people, there are enough Guelph collectors, Cambridge collectors, Southwestern Ontario collectors. This is what people want. They want to buy something. You live in Guelph. You want to get a piece of Guelph history put on your fireplace. This would be the perfect item.
Yeah, I'd say for sure. People who live in Guelph generally love Guelph and all its history and heritage. So you're in a good city to own a rare item like that.
Yeah, even the museum hasn't heard of it.
Really?
Well, yeah, I
really?
Found it in
okay,
the room.
My $100
when
price is probably low.
Now I'm worried it's from Guelph, North Dakota, or something like that. You know what I mean? And it ended up in your town.
No, I'm in Guelph, Ontario.
No, but the bottle might have come from Guelph, India. We don't know. That's what I'm saying.
No. On, I would like to see it. I have a friend. I have one specialist that helps me with glass. If you call me during the week, I can probably get you a price on it. But
okay.
The idea, if the museum doesn't have the piece and no one has donated it to the museum, that's either it's got no value, but the way you're saying there's a rare, I'm going to put the value to probably north of $100, maybe $200 bottle.
Yeah, it becomes quite a novelty then.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know
no,
if
I
you
like
want
to
part
this.
With
like
it, though.
No, but we definitely want to find out more about
yeah,
it.
Definitely.
I mean, if it was a dairy that only existed, you know, for 1 year and then you know, the company broke up because the famous, you know, some sort of famous affair between the owner and the cattle farmer next door's wife, that'd be great history to have. Because if no one's heard of it, it probably wasn't around that long. Again, assuming we're talking about the right Guelph. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jennifer, thank you for a phone call.
Thank you.
Okay,
that's
so
actually a great call.
Yeah,
okay.
Now I want to know if anyone knows anything about a Guelph dairy company that might have, you know, you think the museum in that city would know more about it. Maybe not. Who knows? But you are listening to Consignment Heroes on Zoomer Radio, and this is a show all about stuff. And on the line, we have the star of the show. He's found fame and fortune dealing in other people's stuff, specifically identifying value that other people overlook. You know him from Storage Wars Canada and A&E's Northern Treasures. He's a big TV star, and he's live right now at 1280 Dundas Street West at the Oakville Antique Show. He's wheeling and dealing this hour, but you still get his ear if you have a question about a rare item that you own that you think might have some special value. His store is located at 10341 Yonge Street. That's in Richmond Hill, just north of Major McKenzie, 10341 Yonge Street. You can also call the store during regular work week hours. Here's that number, 905-737-GOLD. That's 905-737-GOLD. More of your calls straight ahead.
Estates have a sentimental value and a real value. Which one do you think sells? An estate appraisal by Toronto Gold, Silver, and Coins is valued for the honesty and experience of Paul and Bogart, who always arrive with three options. They'll buy it from you, sell it for you, or tell you what the estate is worth. And their live online auction, held every month, is a great way to sell on consignment. Need an estate appraised? There's really only one choice. Call 905-737-GOLD.
Southworks Antiques, one of Canada's best antique malls, just got better by moving to a better location. Across the Grand River in Cambridge at 73 Water Street proudly stands the new Southworks Antiques. 25,000 square feet of antiques and nostalgia with an intriguing history. For sale by over 100 vendors. Visit southworksantiques.com for directions. Then park free and check it out. It's a new beginning for a lot of old stuff at Southworks Antiques in Cambridge. Open every day of the year.
Your collection of old coins is worth exactly what someone is willing to pay for it. The highest paid prices for old silver coins and gold jewelry are at Toronto Gold, Silver, and Coins. So the only number you should have in your head is this one, 905-737-GOLD. Toronto Gold, Silver, and Coins buys and sells. So what does a bar of bullion go for these days? Wrong question. What's it going for right now? For up-to-the-minute prices, call 905-737-GOLD.
Hi, Paul Kenny here, Consignment Hero. Boxes are truly amazing things. They come in all shapes and sizes, and they do a remarkable job of storing your stuff. And the folks at Mississauga Cartons know how important it is to find the right box. For over 35 years, they've provided thousands of satisfied customers with a wide range of packaging, boxes, and shipping materials. I use them, so should you. Mississauga Cartons. Check them out at MississaugaCartons.com and be a hero like me.
Welcome back to Consignment Heroes on Zoomer Radio. We are live in Liberty Village at the beautiful Zoomerplex. The star of the show is off-site. He's at the Oakville Antique Show. It's at 1280 Dundas Street West, but he's still fielding your phone calls. By the way, if you have a rare or interesting item you'd like a free assessment of, you can call in right now, 416-360-0740. That's 416-360-0740. Our next caller is going to be Gary in Guelph. Gary, how are you? Gary?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. I'm trying to locate a locket, a Victorian-style locket, push-button type, like a man's pocket watch. And
okay.
I've been hunting for about the last 20 years to find it. Every antique store, wherever, it's just like they totally vanished off the face of the earth. And
weird.
They were very popular back in the 40s and 50s, and it just seems like they've just disappeared.
Okay, now does it have any hair in it, or is it just a locket with a picture in it?
Well, I'm looking to buy one with...
Oh, you're looking to buy one, okay.
Yeah.
You can still buy them. I'm trying to think...
You're saying you can't find it anywhere.
You know something? I'm willing to bet at this show there's got to be 10 of them. I was waiting for a call for someone actually to call and ask what's something worth. I was going to walk over to the booth and say, here's what it's selling for. But this is almost as good a call. I think there'll be probably 10 or 20 lockets in this show in different places. If I go to different booths, because there's about 15 different jewelry dealers here, silver lockets, gold lockets. This is where the customer, the client, the listener is going to find his best chance of getting something like this.
So, Gary,
and
you're in Guelph.
Exist.
He might make it if he left now.
Because yeah. I've been looking for a long time to try and find one. I find all kinds of them that you pry open with your fingernails, but I'm looking for the one that has the buttons that the face pops open just like a pocket watch.
Okay. You know what you should do is call me at the store tomorrow. I'll track one down for you for sure. Generally, if they're going to be like that, you're going to have a mechanism that's going to be gold. And if it's going to be gold, you're going to have to pay a little bit more money for it. That's all that's going to happen. It's usually going to be made out of 10 carat or 14 carat. You will not find it out of 18 carat usually.
Yeah. The other
or
thing
it might
I had,
be 9 carat.
Pardon? The other thing I had was a Prussian coin that somebody's virtually destroyed. They took a silver sugar bowl, cut the bottom out, and soldered the coin into the thing there. And the date on the coin is from 1686.
Mm.
Yeah. They did that a lot. The Victorians did it. It would be on the bottom. They didn't wreck the coin, but that was their way. The coins at that time, remember, the silver was maybe a dollar an ounce. They didn't really care, and it made it look good. And something like this, they still sell for the silver weight, but you cannot get the new. They've wrecked the coin, yes, but a lot of times they use what are called jeweler's examples. Someone made a bunch of the coins up to look like that coin. If you look at it really closely, you say it looks like it, but it's not quite it.
Oh, interesting.
They did the same thing with gold sovereigns. They did that. They made the gold sovereigns in rings, and a lot of people bring them in. Now, they're still worth it because they're 90% gold, but it's made what we call jeweler's examples. It looks very close to being a sovereign. An expert like me can tell the difference, but the general public won't. And they're meant to fool people that they think they can get the money for the sovereigns on it.
Interesting. Okay, Gary, thanks for your phone call. We're going to go to Sylvia in Guelph. Sylvia's on line 3. We were talking about rotary phones are suddenly collectible and valuable. I'm told that Sylvia has a pretty rare color. Sylvia, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
Pretty good. What do you have?
I have a pink rotary dial bell telephone. It's from the 50s, and I just wondered if it was valuable.
Interesting.
50s or 70s? Is it 50s? Okay. Because they also made them out of the 70s. I'm looking at one right now at the show, standing right in front of the booth. There's a pink one right here for $125.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And so this is one of those things where if you come to the show, the orange one is $175.
Oh, wow.
The brown one, the yellow one, $75. And the red one is $85. And I can't find a black one. They only got colored ones here.
Wait, okay. Paul, is this guy who's got all these old rotary phones, is he explaining, is there like a USB port that people have some modified so you can use them off your cell phone or something like that? Is it just to have them look good?
You can still use it in your house. If you have
a landline, yeah.
Yeah.
But who has a landline?
Is it my grandmother had to have a pink phone to match her pink bedroom.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so $120. That's way more than I would have guessed.
Thank you very much.
I think he's modified them so that they'll fit onto, that you can plug them in. It has to be a landline. But I've got one here that looks, people are going to have to go back a long way. Some of our listeners remember the old four plugs. They have four prongs on them instead of two.
No, I'm just guessing someday some tech geek will come up with a way that you can go from your phone to connect it to an old rotary phone and make it work somehow. I don't know.
No, you know, it's two different systems. One's on, without getting too technical, one's on a crossfire system, which is almost, and the other one is on a photolight system.
Okay, fine.
So they are two different, so they can't be done. Sorry, Ben.
All right, well then, fine. Just a Bluetooth speaker and a microphone. You can install it in an old rotary phone and use it that way. How about that?
Yes, that'll do.
That'll work. Okay, our next caller is going to be Lori in Caledon. Lori, how are you?
I'm good. Paul?
Yes?
Yes. I'm just wondering if there's any if old tennis rackets are worth anything. I have three here. One is called, I believe, Slazenger. It's in the original.
Old tennis rackets?
Slazenger.
Yes, yes.
And the other one is a Dunlop in a yellow leather binding case. They're old.
I know, but they're mainly decorator now. They'll have a cat gut in them, and they're mainly decorator. We've sold them some of the old ones. Old new, as I call it, 1970s and 80s ones by certain players, mm-hmm. We get up to $150 to $175. Mm-hmm. Most of those old Dunlop and Slazengers, unless it's a special model made by such and such a person, is going to be about $25, $35.
Because the one Slazenger says right on it, made in England.
Made in England, but what has happened is, like, say you had a pair of hockey gloves that was endorsed by Gordie Howe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people who collect Gordie Howe are going to collect those hockey gloves. And now, say you had a
I'm not a big tennis guy, but a tennis star from Arthur Ashe.
Okay.
It was an Arthur Ashe tennis racket.
Mm-hmm.
Then that would be worth money. You might get a little bit extra for something like that.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess wall art is where that's going to end up, on somebody who loves tennis. They want it on their wall, some vintage rackets, just, you know, near the closet where they keep their tennis bag, would be my guess.
Yeah. Actually, talking about that, just 1 second before we go on to the next call, anyone who's got, like, old sweaters from the Toronto Maple Leaf hockey team, or even the baseball, the flannels, any of the old jersey, if someone in the family used to play in the NHL or OHA or the baseball leagues or football, CFL, I'm always interested in that kind of stuff. The actual jerseys, like I said, the jersey out of the 50s could be worth $25,000. Could be worth $15,000, but depends on the condition.
Yeah, we had a woman call in a couple of weeks ago, right? Wasn't her uncle?
Yeah, Howie Meeker,
that's right. Yeah. And she was shocked to hear some of the values of some of his old sweaters and jerseys would be worth.
But Howie mightn't give it to her unless she's a real close niece.
Well, maybe he wants to sell them, right? Why, you know.
Oh, no, maybe. No. But there are people with rings. A Stanley Cup ring from 64 would probably, Toronto would probably be worth $15,000.
Wow.
There's only about $160 worth of gold in it. Not that I would ever melt it, but it would sell for that much money, depending on who the player is. And there are people with these stuff in their houses right now. And it's just, a lot of people say, I wouldn't sell that, but maybe for $15,000 I can change their mind. You know what I mean?
That's right. And by the way, you are listening to Consignment Heroes. We're live on Zoomer Radio. I'm in the Zoomerplex. Paul Kenny, the star of the show, he's at the Oakville Antique Show, and it's at 1280 Dundas Street West. When does it run until?
It runs till 4 o'clock.
So you still have time. Is parking free? How much do they charge me to get in?
I think it's $8 to get in, $1 to get something off the site. But it's worth it. You know something? Just for free. I'll guarantee that someone will look at the first booth and say, this was worth it just to see this stuff. You know? I mean, they go to malls, and yeah, it's free to go into a mall, but the stuff is all made in China. Can I say that? This stuff isn't. This is real nice stuff. This is handmade stuff. This is stuff that was made 200 years of loving care. I'm the ultimate recycler. I mean, I actually believe in this stuff that is better to buy quality. When you're buying cheap, there's such a thing as buying cheap and cheap.
Well, I like leverage, and I like deals. Is it a good time to go in the last hour or last few hours? You say, hey, wait a second, you want to pack this table back up? I want it. How about half price?
Well, you won't get that, but you can cash always speak.
It's an opening offer, Paul. Encounter it, you know?
Yes, huh?
I'm just messing with you. If you want to call the show right now for some advice, a free assessment on a rare item you might have, 416-360-0740. That's 416-360-0740. If you're out of town, it's toll-free. You can call us right now, 1-866-740-4740. That's 1-866-740-4740. Paul Kenny and his son Bogart run a store. You can visit that during the week and regular work week hours. It's located at 10,341 Yonge Street. That's 10,341 Yonge Street. They also have a YouTube channel. You can see a lot of their rarer or more interesting items. They actually do quick videos. Show them close up. You go to YouTube and type in "for what it's worth." From there, it'll give you a whole bunch of searches. You can click on his actual channel. That's the name of the channel, For What It's Worth. And you can click through all sorts of rare coins, hockey collectibles, autographs. You can see this stuff close up like you never could. Also, we should tell you that our phone lines are jammed and we got to get back to business here. Our next caller is going to be James in Scarborough. James, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
And what do you have?
I got an old rotary phone, but it's black.
Oh, okay. What? He's got an old black rotary phone.
It's a Northern...
Telecom?
Yeah,
Northern Electric.
Northern Electric, and it was started back in 1954.
Yep. They sell for around $25 to $35 a black one, because a lot of them... Do you know they were guaranteed for 40 years?
Is that right?
The Japanese phones, and all the systems were only guaranteed for 2 years, but Northern Electric... And before it was Northern Telecom, guaranteed them for 40 years. And I think they're going to even last longer than that.
Wow.
So
this one still works because I use it occasionally.
Yeah, now they look great. Yeah, but the black ones, every house had one in 1965. You got to remember that. You know? And,
So they still sell. They're still worth money, which I find shocking. We talk about this all the time, that you know, when you're close to it, like Paul, you're deep in these different markets, and sometimes markets are just made. Sometimes these items become interesting after time. Rotary phones are suddenly worth something, it appears.
So oh, yeah, great decorator item.
Sorry, James?
Is it worth about 30 bucks?
Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
Is it worth 30 bucks, you think?
Yeah. 40,
60.
What is it?
PL sets. The 27. Sorry, Ben. My Ben's on. We're going to tell me.
$27. $27? Is what
no,
are you?
No. I'm selling something else here. Sorry.
Paul.
I'm selling PL sets.
How much is this black phone worth? Is it worth 30 is his question.
$25.
$25.
$25 and we'll pay $15.
There you go, James. Okay. All right. Thank you for
Sorry
your phone call.
About that. There's people all around me asking questions here. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Bill in North York is our next caller. Bill, how are you? Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Hey, man, what do you got?
I've got two old Chinese vases.
Hmm.
Chinese?
So actually, I sent an email off to you guys last Monday.
Oh, I haven't been this week with doing this show, and we had two tragedies on our staff. I have not seen an email all week. I will be looking at emails tomorrow.
Sorry to hear about your tragedies.
It wasn't for me, but two of my staff had. We had some they had personal tragedies. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, and unbelievable luck, by the way. I talked to you a few times this week. I could not believe it's just unbelievable. Yeah. Sorry to hear about all of it, by the way.
Yeah, but I will. I'll be getting to the emails late tomorrow afternoon because we'll be coming back from the show, which is just and it'll take a while to unpack and pack it up again. So,
well, tell us more about the vases. How do you know they're Chinese?
I know they're Chinese. I did some research on them through the internet. So they're like from the 1600s. They're from the Kangxi period.
Oh, sorry. I saw those. Okay, I've had some. Sorry. No, my staff actually, because of the importance of that, they had someone take a look at. We have them sent out to someone else to actually verify what you're trying to do from the phone. You're talking about not radios. They're vases, right?
Yes. Yeah, vases. Yeah, pair of vases. They're in kind of rough condition, but one of them's all stapled together again. But considering how old and rare they were, so I figured they might be worth something. But.
Yeah, around the turn of the century, a lot of China-like in dishes and porcelain was repaired with staples. And for a long time there, my wife only collected china that was repaired with staples. She said someone to repair this must have really loved it. Valuable pieces would have been repaired with staples. It does take away from the value, but I'd rather have it repaired with the staples than someone trying to hide the repairs.
Oh, you interesting.
Know,
okay.
Some of the people who restore stuff now and they try and pass it off as perfect, and you know it's been repaired and restored. I will take a look at them, but I'll look at them in earnestly tomorrow, late in the day or Tuesday morning. Okay?
Oh, no, that sounds great. I very much appreciate it.
And getting back to other business, Gwen, who called in a couple weeks ago, I did Tinker Cups and Saucers. They're online right now and getting bids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
very good.
This is a customer, a client, a listener who's very, very happy. I think she'll be very, extremely happy by the time we're done with this.
So the good news is for Bill, the wheels are in motion. Your email was received and it's getting reviewed. So there you go. You didn't miss the email at all. By the way, if you have a rare or interesting item and you don't want to appear live on a radio or be heard live on a radio, you can always take a picture of it and send it to their email address. And people do check it. just take the picture and send it to the email address, sales@torontogoldsilver.com. sales@torontogoldsilver.com. Maybe you have an old tractor that you can't get to the store, but you do want to show it off and get a real-time market value of it. That's a good time to click a picture and send the picture to sales@torontogoldsilver.com. Say, hey, I want to sell this. How do I move it? What might it go for? Those sorts of things. Our next caller, by the way, is, it's going to be Barbara in Mississauga. Barbara, how are you?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Not bad. I'm told you have a pretty interesting item.
Well, I think it's an Olympic jacket. It's Adidas, and it says Chile 62.
From 1962. Now, the Olympics would be in
1962.
Was Adidas even around back then?
I don't know, but that's what it says on here, that it was actually was made in, I guess... where was it made? Anyway, it says on the inside that it's made in Vietnam.
Okay.
So I don't know whether it's real or what. I don't know.
Pumpkin.
Yeah, that adds up. And it says Adidas has been around since 1949. So who knows where they would have outsourced manufacturing back then.
Uh-huh.
That might make perfect sense.
Yeah. And it's in beautiful shape. In fact, when I bought it at, I guess it was the Salvation Army, and I didn't even notice for a long time that it says Adidas Chile 1962 quite discreetly above the pocket on the left-hand side. So
okay.
It's in
is there a name on the pocket or anything? What is the motif on it? What is it? You said
you
Adidas
know what? It doesn't
jacket.
Say anything. It doesn't really say anything about Olympics at all. It just says Adidas Chile 62. So I figured, okay, well, would that be an Olympics that took place in Chile in 62? I don't even
Interesting.
Know.
No, there
Interesting.
Was no Olympics in Chile in 1960 and 64. Back then, they only had Olympics every 4 years.
Oh, okay.
World Games, Pan Am.
Tokyo and... 1960.
Oh, okay. So
it was Olympic Claw Valley, I think, wasn't it? And, yeah. No, 1962, they're taking license here. This is a reproduction. There was no Olympics in 1962,
okay.
Either winter or summer.
And then, of course, the other thing that was interesting was it said that it's made in Vietnam. And it's like, I don't think we were, you know, that we were having things made in Vietnam in 62.
Right.
Yeah, that was just before the war, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Could it be World Cup? Well, you're saying if it's made in Vietnam, you got your. Oh, the good news is it's still a jacket. It'll keep a breeze off you, right? That's the plus side.
Oh, it's beautifully made, and beautiful zip pockets, and it's great. I probably wouldn't sell it anyway. Probably. Well, it depends on the price, doesn't it?
No.
Okay. So not Olympic. Okay. Thank you so much. Take care.
No
Have
problem.
A good day. Love your show.
Oh, thank you. Our next call is going to be Brian in Toronto. Brian, how are you?
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. What do you got?
I have a book. It's called The Wandering Jew, Volume 1. There's no title page as for a date, but it's got a handwritten from a Dr. Halbert, January 1906.
Halbert Halbert?
No. Halbert.
Halbert. Not L. Ron Hubbard.
No, Halbert.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I would have to check it now. Because I'm not in the studio right now, I'm at this show here, this is something I can't do. You'll have to call me back next week with this one.
Okay.
And I can help you out next week. I can't help you right now.
Alrighty.
All right, thank you very much. Our next caller is going to be Diane in Orangeville on line 2. Diane, how are you?
How are you?
Pretty good. What do you have?
I have inherited 14 albums of old stamps. Three
Ooh.
Shoeboxes and two bags not sorted. The albums are all in plastic, and the shoeboxes are all in plastic, and they're all from what country they're in. I just wondered if there's any value.
Okay. Now, I missed the very first thing of that. What was that you had? Sorry?
She has 80 years of a stamp collection and 14 different albums that she's inherited.
Okay. Then that goes to our expert. He can do it in 10 minutes. It'll take me 10 hours. So you get a much better deal from him.
So, Diane, the short answer is yes, it probably has some value. And what are the era of the stamps? Because as a general rule for this show's purpose, we say prior to World War One, that's generally more valuable for stamp
collecting. Some of them are prior to that.
Oh, there you go.
Then you can bring them into us. We can take photos. We're in contact with them. He'll come and appraise the whole thing. He'll give you an idea if it's worth going any further with it, what the overall value is. People have been very happy with the service we do on stamps. You need a true person who's a true collector on these. The stamp values are generally going down, though. Something catalogs at $50, it's hard to get $10 for it.
Okay.
That's the only thing. But you might have stamps in the worth
$5,000.
Yeah, is there one stamp that's singled out? It's all alone on a page or something like that?
No,
makes you think it's more interesting?
And from all over the world, too.
Interesting. So maybe he's grabbed a stamp from different places that they visited, something like that?
Could be.
The other thing is, but I was going to say, is that if she's got a very valuable stamp and it catalogs at $25,000, then that stamp you'll get $24,000 for because the valuable ones. It's one of the mill lower-end stamps that are the harder ones to sell.
Interesting. Okay. So, Diane, I guess our advice is you should pack up the car with all of these albums and take a drive over to the store, Toronto Gold Silver. It's located at 10341 Yonge Street in Richmond Hill, just north of Major Mackenzie. The store's number is 905-737-GOLD. But I'd hop in the car and just drop it off, make sure it's all secure, and then wait for the expert. When is the stamp guy in there, Paul?
He comes in about once every couple of weeks.
Okay, so there you go.
And when I get enough stamps for him, because it's a special trip, he does this as a favor to me. He's honest. He's found $500 stamps for people. I trust him. That's the best thing in this world. You got to trust him.
Yeah, and Diane, you're going to have to trust somebody.
I know.
Because there's no way you're going to go Google everyone.
Thank you so much.
Diane, thank you so much. Our next caller is going to be Georgette in Cambridge. Georgette, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. What do you have?
Okay, I have an old Canadian Tire catalog, fall and winter 1941-42. Is there any value to these?
Yes.
There is?
There is.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
The stamp is still on it. That was, part of the stamp that was, it was sent.
Okay.
And there's
yes.
also the order form inside.
Okay. Now, and with the Canadian Tire, when they first came out with the catalogs, they weren't catalogs. They were actually maps, I think about 1927. So this is near the beginning of when they started making their catalogs. Catalog that used to sell for about $150 if it's in really good shape and the pages are still supple. Probably in today's market, there'll be about $100. And they made them every year, and people are, those early years are always harder for people to get because there was less stores back then. Yeah. And with less stores, I mean, they made less catalogs. They made less catalogs, and there's less of them survived. So you have a true collector's item right now. Okay.
Okay.
So would it be like the Sears catalog? Like, what did Canadian Tire sell toys back in the day, or was it just be like, oh, you're getting a tire iron?
It's just amazing to look at that. I don't think there were toys. Mostly car parts and that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Oh, no. Everyone, it's the Sears. Now, Eden is a good catalog, but the Canadian Tire had your car parts, and it had some hockey games. It had Canadian Tire has been one of those companies that the catalog is worth looking at. It's actually, it'll take you back to a time when prices were cheaper and what was valuable.
Mm.
You know, like they have the old hockey games. They have what the tools were back then. I'm sorry, I enjoy looking at them, but they weren't as thick as they are today and not as flashy and glossy.
I'm guessing about 1,000 people right now goes, what? Old Canadian Tire catalog, $100? They'll be rummaging through their basement all afternoon, I would guess.
Well, the best stuff's always in the basement, Ben. People come in, I come over to people's houses and I like stuff upstairs. Get me to the basement. It's stuff they've forgotten about for the last 25 years that they don't think is worth any money. And that's what sometimes what the value is, the comic books or the old Stanley Cup program from 1960 that they don't know is worth $250. You know, that kind of stuff is just sitting there. And they're just saying, I went to the game. It's in the bottom of a trunk. I got a $2,000 comic once out of the bottom of a trunk. The person was selling me the trunk, and they were really surprised that I wanted actually the comic that was in it, and I didn't want the trunk.
You're listening to Consignment Heroes on Zoomer Radio. We are live this cloudy Sunday afternoon, but lots of exciting calls. And if you have a rare item that you're curious about, maybe it's an old ticket stub from the 1960s. Some of those are going way up in value as collector's items. Maybe it's an old piece of porcelain. Who knows? Gold, silver, anything you have lying around your house or in your basement especially, you think might have value, you can call in right now for a real-time market assessment from an expert who deals in other people's stuff. Our number is 416-360-0740. That's 416-360-0740. Hang in there, Earl. You're next on the line. We'll get to you when we return.
Estates have a sentimental value and a real value. Which one do you think sells? An estate appraisal by Toronto Gold, Silver, and Coins is valued for the honesty and experience of Paul and Bogart, who always arrive with three options. They'll buy it from you, sell it for you, or tell you what the estate is worth. And their live online auction, held every month, is a great way to sell on consignment. Need an estate appraised? There's really only one choice. Call 905-737-GOLD.
Southworks Antiques, one of Canada's best antique malls, just got better by moving to a better location. Across the Grand River in Cambridge at 73 Water Street proudly stands the new Southworks Antiques. 25,000 square feet of antiques and nostalgia with an intriguing history. For sale by over 100 vendors. Visit southworksantiques.com for directions. Then park free and check it out. It's a new beginning for a lot of old stuff at Southworks Antiques in Cambridge. Open every day of the year.
Your collection of old coins is worth exactly what someone is willing to pay for it. The highest paid prices for old silver coins and gold jewelry are at Toronto Gold, Silver, and Coins. So the only number you should have in your head is this one, 905-737-GOLD. Toronto Gold, Silver, and Coins buys and sells. So what does a bar of bullion go for these days? Wrong question. What's it going for right now? For up-to-the-minute prices, call 905-737-GOLD.
Hi, Paul Kenny here, Consignment Hero. Boxes are truly amazing things. They come in all shapes and sizes, and they do a remarkable job of storing your stuff. And the folks at Mississauga Cartons know how important it is to find the right box. For over 35 years, they've provided thousands of satisfied customers with a wide range of packaging, boxes, and shipping materials. I use them, so should you. Mississauga Cartons. Check them out at MississaugaCartons.com. And be a hero like me.
Welcome back to Consignment Heroes on Zoomer Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. I'm Ben Mercer in studio. The star of the show, Paul Kenny, is live on location at the Oakville Antique Show, which is open till 4, by the way. If you're looking for some fun this afternoon, you can get out there. It's at 1280 Dundas Street West. Our phone number here is 416-360-0740. Our next caller is Earl in Toronto. And Paul,
yeah,
you asked for hockey jerseys?
Yes.
You might have a good one. Earl, how are you?
Not bad. How are you, sir?
Not bad. What do you got?
I have a 1943 Circle Montreal Canadiens sweater. Or I'm sorry, it's 44, and it was made by the Heritage Foundation CCM. I guess it was CCM that made it. It's brand new. It's never been worn, right? I won it in a raffle about 30 years ago, I guess. You know.
Okay, but it's not a player's jersey, right?
Oh yeah, it is, but it's like the replica jersey. Yeah, it's a real jersey in 1944.
Okay.
It's a real thing, but it's redone, right? It's brand new.
So it's a replica.
It's a replica.
Yeah.
But it's an old replica.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's where we start the difference. Say you have, if you have a jersey that was worn by Maurice Richard from 1953, that's worth 100 G's.
Okay.
If you have a replica of a Maurice Richard jersey, even made by Heritage, even with his number on it, it would be worth $200. If it was signed by Maurice Richard, it would be worth $700 because he's no longer with us.
Okay.
But there's the old jerseys. I'm saying if someone played in the league, if you have a relative or something like that, these jerseys should not be thrown out. Even the contracts, a contract from 1940s for Maple Leafs, and someone who has played with the Leafs back then is going to be signed by Frank Calder and the Leaf executive from the league. It's going to be worth approximately $600 to $700, maybe up to $1,500, depending on who the player is. Any of this old kind of memorabilia is always worth money. See, we have people here listening to 740 right now.
Right.
No, they're in the background. Is that the guy from 740? Yeah. So with this thing, with your jersey, you probably sell for new $200, $225. Nice, you want it in a raffle. It's probably retails right now about $150. A dealer might give you $75 to $100. Okay.
Okay.
Earl, thanks for your phone call.
Thank you, sir.
Susan in Alton is our next caller. Susan, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
And what do you have?
I have a 50-inch metal Coca-Cola sign, circa 1955, and it's in mint condition.
Whoa.
I wrote to Coca-Cola last February, but I didn't hear back from them. So I heard of your program, so I thought I'd give you a call.
So let me ask you a couple quick questions before Paul gets his hands on you. So is this the red, it's like a big button? Is it round, circular?
It's a big button, like a big round.
Yep, okay.
It's red and white.
And it just says Coca-Cola. The bottle shouldn't have any writing on it for that era. Is that right?
Yes.
Coca-Cola and no writing on the bottle in the background?
No.
Yeah, so you got a valuable sign.
Any chipping on it?
Wonderful.
How big is it, 50-inch?
Yep.
50-inch.
That's
inch.
A better size than the
Yeah, standard is 36 for that.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Right now, in the condition on that, if it's got no enamel chipping, and Coca-Cola will not, because they made them, you got to remember, every town had 400 variety stores. Half of them had the Coca-Cola. Half of them had some kind of a chocolate bar in front of them. And they used to give them away free. and people ripped them off. When if the store came down, they would take the Coca-Cola button and the owner would take it home. Because they were in good, but because they were outside, some of them get really weather beaten. If you have one in really good condition, I've seen them up to $2,500.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
it is.
Depends
it's
on
an
the
excellent
condition.
Condition.
Pardon?
It's in excellent condition.
I'd like to see it. I've got a couple of customers that like that. Anywhere between, you have as low as five. It depends on the market. Depends on if there was a whole chain. Sometimes people discover whole warehouses full of some of this stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Susan, how did you get your hands on it?
My husband bought it. Well, he's passed away. My husband
sort of
bought it years ago, probably in the 80s. And we were going to hang it up, and we never did. And then we had a fire at the restaurant, and I still hung on to it.
Wow. Okay, so Susan, it sounds like you have a very valuable sign.
Mm. Yes.
So you want to be careful about how you sell it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Get two quotes. Remember what you say on this show, and I mean it all the time. Get two quotes. Even if it's I'd like to be one of the quotes, but at least get two quotes and take the higher one. But get two quotes whenever you're selling something like this, okay?
Yeah, and
because
Susan,
I haven't. Go ahead.
I was going to say that this is something where you probably, I don't know, you want to put it in an auction or consign it because who knows, right? The answer is who knows what it might be worth, right?
What about Kijiji if I stuck it on there?
No.
No.
Oh, you can. You're welcome to do whatever you want. But what I would do on this, before you put something on Kijiji, I even tell these when I go to people's houses, if you want to do that, before you put it on Kijiji, at least find out what it's worth. Okay? Because you don't. If you have something that's worth $2,000 and you put it out for $100, the person who comes to your house is not going to say, I'm going to give you $2,000. They're going to give you the $100 you asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is king here, and this is why we try and help people. We tell you what it's worth. What you do with it after I tell you what it's worth, it's up to you. Okay.
Right, and Susan, people are going to want to see it in person a lot, so even people who go out and see it and maybe it's not what they're looking for, they're going to want to come to your place, look at it, you got to arrange all that. It's a big pain. And on top of that, there's a bunch of Coca-Cola collector weirdos coming to your house every day. You don't want that. Or I wouldn't want that. I don't know. You could do it. Sure.
No.
But anyway, get it assessed because there are Coca-Cola experts. People live and breathe this stuff.
Okay.
So I'm sure Paul, if he doesn't have somebody in, with him at the store, he can put you in touch with. I'm sure there's probably 100 Coca-Cola sign experts within 100 miles of us right now. Anyway, Susan, thanks for your phone call. We're gonna put you on hold so that you make sure that you get Paul's number. His store number is 905-737-GOLD. 905-737-GOLD. The store is located at 10341 Yonge Street. And if you have a rare or interesting item that you want Paul to get his eyes on, you can click a picture of your Coca-Cola sign or your rotary phone or whatever it is. Click the picture and hit send to this email address. Sales@TorontoGoldSilver.com. Sales@TorontoGoldSilver.com. Our next caller is Tony in Brampton. Tony, how are you?
Hi.
What do you got, man?
I have the last Toronto Telegram newspaper and the first Toronto Sun newspaper from back when they were published. And they're in pristine condition because they've been stored in light-proof bags.
Hmm.
Okay.
Is there any
going
value
to have to
on these?
Here, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, is there any value on these newspapers?
They're going to be valuable to your great-grandkids. Make sure they get them. That means you can't sell them today. Keep them in the family and give them to them.
Okay.
Because in today's market, a lot of people have that. It'll be great to put on the wall or something later on. But at this moment, a lot of people save them because it's like when I tell people, the kiss of death is when someone says something is the collector's item or collector's edition or something like that. That means a lot of people say, oops, I'm going to collect this. And they collect the one thing and they have it until they want to sell it. It's not rare. A lot of people collect it and put them away. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm just trying to help here. Yeah. But it's a nice conversation piece. So what it's going to cost you, it cost you a dime back then or 10 cents. You give it to your grandkids and hand it down.
Okay.
You know, and said, I got this, and I thought it was going to be worth a lot of money. In the year 2096, let's see what it's worth. And your grandkids will tell you.
Yeah, maybe that. More time. More time might make it valuable. You're saying at a glance it's not something you want to sink a bunch of money into.
Yeah, they have to age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony, thank you for your phone call. And that's another thing. If you if you spend 8 hours understanding the item you own and you know it's like $25 to $50, but it took you 10 hours to sell it and all sorts of time, might not be worth it. Marketing is an expensive thing. You got to be around. You got to answer that phone call. You got to show off that old thing. That's something you got to calculate as well. Is it worth your time? Rob in Mississauga. Rob, how are you?
Great, great. Thanks for taking my call. I know I've got very little time here. I've got this old cigar box from, I guess it's from Havana, and it's La Preferencia. It's what makes it unique. It's got this amazing mural on the inside of it of this, Cuban lady dressed like a queen sitting on all these different cigar boxes. But inside of it, it's got a couple of postcards from Coney Island, very old, from the Manhattan Postcard Company, showing the parachute ride.
Very nice.
Okay, here's what I get to say in 2 points. Cigar boxes are collectible depending on what the image inside them is. If you have a hockey team inside or a baseball team photo inside, they're issued for very little, short periods of time. They can be worth $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. You know, normally, if it's got a really pretty image on it, it's worth between $10 and $25. Your postcards, and the general rule for this postcards is Upper Boot Manitoba is going to be worth more than Coney Island or downtown Toronto or Niagara Falls. When people go traveling, they always send back postcards. So your big areas are not good, like Toronto, like I said, Niagara Falls.
Paul, we got to hustle. We got to hustle. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts? Come and see me this week. And this was a really great show today. I had a lot of fun. And I hope you
the show continues until 4 p.m. He's at the Oakville Antique Show. It's at 1280 Dundas Street West. For $8, you can get in, say hello, and get a look at the items that are left. Special thanks to technical producer Sebastian Hearn. Everyone have a great day.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.